what was it that led you to start studying embryology and start asking the questions you did?
Well, that's interesting. I was admitted to university on a completely different basis of doing ancient Greek and Latin, but my interest was really in science, not in arts. And so when I had the opportunity to switch, which was possible at that time, I was very glad to be able to switch over to a science course. And of course, it took me a year in preparation before I could start a university science course, not having done any before.
So in the spirit of the science, I'm wondering why these frogs make a good model for studying embryology.
Oh, I can tell you that. Because for the period from about 1850 till about 1950, the frogs were much the most convenient embryos to work on. If you were interested in how an egg forms an animal, the great embryologists of the time in that period all chose frog eggs or possibly salamander eggs because they're very large and easy to do experiments with.
With such an expansive list of publications, I'm wondering, how has the technology changed and how has that helped you to answer questions that may not have been answerable in the 60s?
Yes, it's a very good question you ask. When I started work, there was really no molecular biology available for working on cells or embryos. Remember that even DNA had not been discovered in that time. And since that time, in the last 50 years, the technology has changed out of recognition. So it's now possible to study the actual activity of individual genes in a cell. That was absolutely not possible all that time ago. So the technology has enormously changed during my lifetime.
How has our basic understanding of science changed to help us ask questions that you want to ask about embryology?
I think it has changed because we can now ask questions about the activity of individual genes. You know, we have about 40,000 genes, and together they account for the way the embryo forms an animal and how cells differentiate. And it's now possible to analyze the activity of each individual gene, which was never possible before.
And what do you think then, going forward, are some of the big questions that are going to be left for the next generation of scientists to answer?
Yes, that's another very interesting question. My own personal view is that within the time you describe, we will eventually understand exactly how an egg can make an animal, how all the different kinds of cells are formed, and probably what it is that goes wrong when we have diseases or disorders. The one exception to that, perhaps, is the way the brain works. But if we are concerned with the way an egg develops on its own to make a functional organism, I would think we will understand that in detail in the next several decades. And the reason why it will take a little time to do that is because we have very bad ways of recognizing concentrations of an individual protein or gene product in a cell. We can recognize RNA or nucleic acid amounts in cells, but we cannot do that for proteins as yet. So I think that technology has still to be developed to enable us to really understand how development and cell differentiation work.
What do you think needs to happen to improve the ability to measure proteins? Do we need to start re-looking at a different technique from Western blotting, or is there something simple there we can do to change things?
Yes, it's a very interesting question. And the problem, first of all, is this, that with nucleic acids, there is this polymerase chain reaction, the PCR, which is extremely good at amplifying a small number of molecules in a cell so that you can see how many there are and what concentration they are at. Now, the problem with proteins is that there is no method at present for amplifying small amounts of proteins. You see, with RNA, you can copy it into DNA and then copy the DNA, but protein does not replicate like DNA does, so it requires a completely different kind of approach to be able to measure proteins, like I have mentioned.
And I'm wondering, with such an expansive list of publications, are there any moments of eureka or moments of serendipity that stand out for you?
Yes. The major experiment for which I'm recognized was one published in 1962, and that was when the basic experiment of transplanting the nucleus from the intestine to an egg, which had no chromosomes, was able to form a normal individual, because that showed that genes are present in all different cells and that they can be, and that cell differentiation can be reversed, sent backwards. That was one amazing moment to find that that is true. And there is a second one, and that happened in about 1970s, when I found, to my great surprise, that injecting messenger RNA molecules into the egg was an extremely effective way of producing proteins encoded by that message. Quite unexpected, but it was an amazing finding to my in my recollection.
And you're still doing research in the lab, I understand. I'm wondering, what sorts of questions are you asking now?
Yes, I do still work in the lab, and the question is more or less the same that it was all this time ago. But now the question is, what is the mechanism by which an egg can rejuvenate or reverse the differentiation of a special cell, like a skin or intestine cell? We now have the methods in principle of understanding that in detail at a molecular level. But at the moment, we know very little about the components of eggs that have this amazing rejuvenating capacity. And I would very much like, within my remaining time, to be able to elucidate that.
The science around this has exploded. I'm wondering if there's any manuscript out in the publishing world that you've been thrilled to see your techniques and your knowledge used to further science.
Yes, well, of course, the work that has been absolutely fundamental is that of Shinya Yamanaka and his colleagues, when they found that overexpressing a few transcription factors could switch cells backwards, rejuvenate them, send them backwards, rather like nuclear transfer does. That was a spectacular paper, and I'm so happy that it has been recognized in this year's Nobel Prize.
Congratulations on the award.
Thank you very much, and very interesting questions you ask, if I may say so. It's a pleasure to talk to you.